Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk a cup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup here, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Sports Grid Radio Network, of course, Facebook and YouTube Live, and of course, 1090 AM, too, our radio source there, still going strong up and down the coast. I was talking to somebody about 1090 the other day. I was up in San Luis Obispo, and I heard 1090 up
crazy.
There. Yeah, it's crazy how big that signal is. And we're here with Rock Cod Rick Mexa in the world headquarters, as you can see if you're looking at Facebook or YouTube Live. We're having a great time. Lionel and Elena Belquist, fisheries biologists, and just super knowledgeable people about all kinds of stuff. I still have a multiple questions for Elena about Lyme disease, too, because she's now a recent expert because of circumstance on Lyme disease, too. So lots of good stuff, and having lots of great phone calls and good texts.
Did a great morning already. If you want to join us, man, we would love to have that. That's what Let's Talk Hookup's all about. And so blessed to have Lionel Lane in here this morning talking fun with us. And if you want to join us, 213-432-1090 is the way you do it. Or, as we said, send us a text on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Free download. The only way to text in your questions is via the app, and make sure you include your contact info in case you win that big trip on board the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing, a full day trip going away at the end of today's show.
Yeah, for sure. And so 213-432-1090. Hey, have you been thinking about purchasing an outboard? Don't delay and purchase a brand new Yamaha outboard at a great deal at Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring sales event from now until December 6th. 2024. Listen to this. Eligible new 20 and 25 to 2.5 horsepower outboards come with $500 in diesel credit. New Yamaha 450 to 425 horsepower outboards include up to 7 years of coverage protection.
Crazy.
And new 350 to 30 horsepower outboards come with 6 years of coverage protection. No need to delay. Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring sales event is right now at your local Shimano, or excuse me, your local Yamaha dealer. Reliability starts here with Yamaha, and it certainly is the best.
I wish Shimano dealers carried Yamaha, because I'd be putting a brand new Yamaha on all the time.
Oh, yeah.
How nice if you're in that position where you're thinking about repower and you've been having to deal with motors, to be able to have literally the most reliable motor on the water and know that you've got coverage for six or seven years. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So there are some exclusions and limitations, but see dealer for the details.
Cool. Well, hey, with that said, we're going to find out what's biting. As promised, it's time for the Catch Report today. Our FishDope.com report, sponsored by our friends at Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. Did you know that Summit is also the place where you can find the lowest prices on ice and snacks for your trip? They have 25 cents for your first 5-pound bag of ice, or $3.99 for a 25-pound bag. You can get as many of those as you want. $3.99 for a 25-pound bag. It literally is. It's like half the price of going rate of ice. Plus, again, the killer deal that we always talk about with Summit, you get 100 pounds of free ice with a 35-gallon fill. They sell Kirkland products lower than the stores that makes them, dozens of great snacks for 89 cents and more. It's Summit Gasoline, free ice for Let's Talk Hookup listeners, and always the lowest prices on gas and diesel, and that's at the San Diego Sports Arena. With that said, we're going to find out what's biting. Our FishDope.com report is going to start with our private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish of Pacific Edge, is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Pete, Lyle, Elena. Great show, man. So much really cool stuff. I love it.
Yeah,
but
right up your alley.
Man, it, you know what? It is, and I've got a couple questions for him when I get done with this report. So, as you might expect. But anyway, 1st of October here, and, man, we can definitely feel that touch of fall in the weather, man. Chilly mornings, all this fog. I'm sick of this fog. Cooler water, but pretty calm offshore, which opens up a bunch of opportunities for you guys that want to venture out there. So, but starting close to home, lobster season's open. No shortage of guys getting out and around. Hooping local here has been pretty good. It's been really good over in Catalina. But I'm telling you what, guys, for those of you fishing that island, you best be aware of where those closures are over there. Fish and Wildlife is very present, and they just love writing those really expensive citations for you guys fishing in the closures. It's not your secret honey hole anymore. Another thing to be aware of, guys, rockfish regs changed again. You got to stay out of the shallows. You got to fish over 50 fathoms. And you got to check the regs to get the lat on numbers that define the areas you can fish in. It's not just quite as easy as you think. So check the regs that are well printed out there, and make sure you know where you're fishing. So another tidbit, you guys looking for a thrill but staying close to home, the thresher sharks are biting in the outer Long Beach LA Harbor here. So troll a mackerel or a sardine, big sardine will work too, in the areas where you see the birds working over the bait schools. And some of those thrashers have been decent size, up like 150 pounds, nice ones. So you can either let them go just for fun, or if you want to take one home for dinner, they are pretty tasty. You might get a sea bass in there too, underneath those bird schools. Now, offshore, those tuna fish took a few days off here a week or so ago. The naysayers are all moaning it's over. Shoot, not even. Not hardly. That bluefin popped back up in a couple different areas, it looks like. The main zone is between Tanner and the west end of Clemente. And that's just kind of been status quo. You know, they're up and down a little bit. That's what bluefins do. But what's really interesting in the tuna fish world is these yellowfin that are showing up. Now, we've not seen the amount of yellowfin we were hoping and praying for. That's definitely not what I'm saying. But there's an area that's a little bit closer to home than that bluefin, kind of above the west end of Catalina, around that 172 like that, down inside the 499 towards the Farnsworth, even some outside the east end of Catalina. So it's closer to the, you know, up and down the backside of Catalina. And there's been some foamers in there. Guys have got a few on poppers and surface iron, but most of those really good ones have been caught on spreader bars, going through the dolphin schools. And man, I saw some pictures this week that it's hard to believe it's coming from the backside of Catalina. It looks more like Guadalupe or something. Man, there's just some beautiful grade of yellowfin around here. And it's not quite open fishing by any means, but there's a little more around than guys might expect, which is really good news. And then one other thing I wanted to mention is I'm always looking around for different bits and pieces of information, and I was chasing down something, and I ran across something totally unrelated. A little website called seasonsinthesea.com, and it's mostly written about the Central Coast, but it goes month by month with what the ocean is doing with relationship to the wind and the currents and the different fish that come with the different conditions. And it is Central Coast oriented, but the little bit I've had a chance to look at it, it really applies a lot to down here, to helping us understand what some of the wind effects and current effects have to do with how the water rolls and stays stable and so on and so forth. Seasonsofthesea.com. I found it really interesting. So do I got time for a question, Pete?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, Lyle or Elena, this one's for you. So I have spent more than a few years fishing offshore. And we were over at San Clemente the other, well, two months ago now, actually. Purple blue water, crystal clear, flat calm. We were done catching our squid. And, you know, the different salts and pyrozoans and this and that was drifting around. I'm very familiar with all that stuff. But I saw two or three of these things that looked kind of like a manta ray, a baby manta ray, like 14 to 16 inches across, with the little things that stick out in front of a manta ray. I don't know what you call them. They were kind of vertical, and they were like paddling along with these things, and they had long white stringy tails on them, and yet they were clear. I could see through them. You could see the guts inside of them.
What?
Really? Like I said, I've spent more than a few years offshore and looking at a lot of water under squid lights and never seen anything. Any idea what that might have been?
Did you take a picture?
No.
Well,
no idea. Here, we stumped the experts here.
Yeah. You stumped us.
I mean, do we have manta rays here?
Well, if you remember back in 2014-15 during the Marine heat wave, we had several manta ray sightings and other species of pelagic ray, some of the smaller ray species from Baja come up, and those were spotted. So they have been sighted here before, but... Clear?
No.
Clear.
That could be.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah.
Some kind of jelly, but it sounds like you're used to seeing things on the water, so you would know a jelly.
Huh? Yeah. Oh,
for sure. No, it was an honestly God creature. I could see his innards, and it looked, because, again, I can see, right through this guy, and it looked as if he had eaten a small salt, those ones that have the little orange balls in them.
Yeah.
He had a series of those orange balls in it.
Wow.
And I've been going crazy trying to find stuff on the internet. Found nothing that relates to that guy. But anyway, there's at least three or four of them around here because I saw them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There are pelagic planktonic organisms that are similar to what you're describing, but they're not nearly the size that you're describing. So I'm not sure. Larvacians are similar to what you're describing, but they're not nearly the size. So I'm not sure.
Hey, Mark, and of course, fishdope.com, it's happening, and you need to stay in touch with Danny and the boys. Always have great information. $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com. And Mark, how do we find you?
Well, P, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by that big Chevron station. And the phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And guys, time to go fishing, man. There's a lot of fish, and it's nice weather other than a little bit of fog.
That's the best part. Yeah. It's nice weather. I like that.
Nice weather, low crowds, biting fish. Yeah. I like it all. Mark, great job. Appreciate it very much, buddy. We look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
Thanks, Roll. Speaking of great fishing, let's head on down to another spot where I know they got them good this week, and that's C4 Sport Fishing in Mission Bay. We got Marcos standing by. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning. How's everyone doing today?
You're doing great, buddy.
Well, not a lot of change from last time I talked to guys last week there. The new C4 fishing, some deep water fishing in the morning there. Again, those reds and rockfish, some pretty good fishing. In the afternoon, fishing the that shallow water, fishing the kelp bed there, a mix of bonita, calico bass, sand bass, whitefish, sheephead. So still some pretty good half-day fishing, and it's been an excellent half-day fishing season here. So very good there. San Diego Sea Watch on those full-day trips, they kind of gave it a one last shot fishing offshore this week, and it didn't quite work out. So those trips have switched back to island through pretty much the whole month of October here. So if you're going to go full-day fishing out the islands there, maybe get into some of that bluefin, yellowtail. One thing they did see this week, though, which is kind of interesting, was some yellowfin on some of those trips. Not a lot of numbers. I know Delgado on one of their six-pack charters, they had 9 of them yesterday. So that's pretty interesting to see. A few on the San Diego earlier in the week, but not a lot there. So definitely have your passports ready if you're going to do that full-day trip there. And they still got some good fishing. So check those out. Check the website, seaforthlanding.com. We have those half-day schedules up there, morning and afternoon. Like I said, morning's going to be deep water. Afternoon's going to be shallower, so bring the right gear. Full-day trips fishing the islands. Those one-days and longer trips still doing pretty well. Still some bluefin in there. Some of the boats are seeing a mix of bluefin and bottom fish. A little bit of yellowfin actually showed up in the count there, too. But overall, it's very similar to what we've had with those bluefin there. So, again, all those trips are on the website, seaforthlanding.com. Give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. Come down, visit us in person, check out the tackle shop, get geared up. Don't put your gear away yet. I think it's time to get some new stuff and get out there and visit next door there and get a burrito, breakfast burrito or breakfast tacos. And Rick, you need to come down. We need to start petitioning for another Rock Hot Rick breakfast burrito. It's been a while.
I couldn't agree more, man. I like it. I like your style, and I like your campaign, Marcos. Glad to hear there's great fishing, and yeah, that Charlie's Landing really is a great spot too,
good
man.
Good spot.
Yeah, appreciate it very
really
much.
Good burger.
Yeah, no doubt. Glad to hear the good fishing. One more time, if somebody wants to join you on whether it be the half day or that great offshore fishing, one more time, how do we do it, Marcos?
Check the website, seaforthlanding.com. We've got our full schedule up there. You can make reservations right online. If you want to call, talk to us in person, have some questions, or you just prefer doing that, 619-224-3383. But always, come down to the beach, visit us in person, hop on a boat, and get out there and catch some fish.
Great job, buddy. We look forward to talking next week, Marcos.
I'll talk to you then, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Marcos.
Let's head on now to Cedro Sport Fishing. We're going to talk to Rosie. She's on the line right now. Hi, Rosie.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Great show this morning. Always so interesting. I love it. Well, it has been fall fishing for us, too. And, you know, one thing that we really haven't seen this year is, you know, the tuna, the yellowfin tuna, and the Dorado normally move in at the end of August and September and October. And we normally are catching a bunch of those, and we're just not seeing the numbers this year. Actually, we haven't even gotten one tuna over the rail. I haven't seen any. And we've only seen a couple Dorado come over the rail. But thank God for our true blue yellowtails, because they are still with us. They're still big and strong, and this has just been the year for big yellowtail. I mean, we are still catching 40-plus pounders daily, and it just absolutely amazes me. And you know what? We're even getting, you know, the big guys on surface iron, which has been good, dropper loop, float trolling a mackerel, whatever floats your boat, the yellowtail are willing to cooperate. This last group that has been down there been doing a lot of sheephead fishing, gold spot bass fishing, getting their freezers filled, which is good for us. And next week I'll be able to do the fish report from the studio. So there you have it.
Yeah, you're going to be live right here in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup. You bringing Jeff along, or is he?
I'm bringing Jeff along. He's still able to get into the studio. Then after that, it's in for his hip surgery. But we'll be bringing him.
We'll see if 7 to 9 a.m. next Saturday, Rosie and Jeff Flowers, Sadro Sport Fishing, talking some good Sadro fishing.
I can't wait, Rosie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, and then, well, next Saturday we'll talk about we're starting to open up all of our trips. We've got, you know, our charter masters get a chance. They fill their trips first, and they tell me how many spots we can open up. And hopefully by next weekend I will have all the trips up on the schedule, and we can go over those and what each month holds for you as you go down to Cedros.
Awesome. Well, great job. Can't wait, and really looking forward to that next Saturday, Rosie. Appreciate the great report, and we'll talk to you then.
All right, you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Rosie. All right, that's going to wrap up our Catch Report today. Again, sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the easier, brand-new, and online system to book your processing reservations for your long-range trips. Now with more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure you make those reservations today.
Now, Debbie Patnow, bless her heart, wanted me to be sure to remind people that this Wednesday is the big San Diego Anglers and Fisherman's Landing Tackle Rod Building 101. And you're going to be there.
Oh, yeah, totally. Wouldn't
yeah, with, hand, with arm and everything.
Yeah, well, I'll be one-handed, but
yeah.
Knuckle bumping instead of handshaking and high-five. Yeah. But yeah, I'll be there.
But four of San Diego's best rod builders, Jim, Bill, Joe, and Chris are all going to be there, right?
It's going to be a really fun night. It just turned into, you know, it turned into something that Debbie wanted to do, something different and something fun. And, you know, it was about rod building basics. If somebody hadn't before, you know, learn how to do a install a handle or a grip section on a blank or wrap a guide. And it just morphed into something way bigger than that. Like, those are amazingly accomplished rod builders. And there's going to be a bunch of, it's totally open to the public.
And it's hands-on, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're going to sit down with, like, some of the, you know, the very best in the business. Like, this is how you wrap a guide on. This is how you set a handle. So you can learn to build an entire custom rod. You can learn to do repairs on your own gear. Like, it's one of the things in fishing that is a little bit foreign to a lot of people, and there's going to be some of the best in the biz breaking down, like, every little bit of it.
And it's free.
Totally free.
Totally free.
It's going to be a great raffle afterwards. It's at Portuguese Hall. It's going to be on Wednesday. It's free to the
right
public.
Right on Shelter Island.
There'll be a bunch of guys from the tackle store helping you, like, if you want to learn how to pick a blank and learn about components and how to put it all together. It's just going to be a fun night, totally free, and we're really looking forward to it.
Doors open at 6. Seminar starts at 7. Again, Portuguese Hall this Wednesday. Presented. It's Rod Building 101. Check it out.
Yeah, San Diego Anglers is so cool about doing stuff just like that. And
yeah.
Just a fun, free day for everybody. I can't wait to see everybody out there.
Well, let's jump into those jam-packed phones, Rick.
How about this time we talk to Todd? Todd's calling us from Costa Mesa this morning. Todd, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging in there, Todd. Looks like we... I take that away. I don't thanks for hanging it out. It's not. Well, in the meantime, we had a great text come through, and pull that up here. This says, good morning, everybody. My question is for Lyle. A few years ago, we had an invasion of Humboldt squids. I'd always heard that that coincided with the impact on sand bass population. Any truth to that? That's from Rob in Seal Beach.
Great question. I remember when they moved in super thick and heavy. It was fun when they were in here to fish for. It just gave us a whole new opportunity that we weren't typically used to. And so there's a couple of years there when we were just roping the squid. That was a ton of fun. They eat everything. You know, Humboldt squid,
people,
each other. I mean, Humboldt squid will eat anything. So whatever they come across, typically, you know, they're offshore. They're in a little bit deeper waters. I think it was documented that they had an impact on rockfish because they were at some of the banks and some of the near shore rockfish spots. So there was probably an impact there on sand bass. I have no idea, but I would say generally when the squid were moving in coastal, they were eating, you know, anything they could.
Yeah.
What a wild animal.
Yeah,
so
this
wild.
Crazy animal.
I know.
Yeah.
Everything about
it. A friend of mine was diving on one of the oil rigs years ago off Long Beach and had a school of Humboldt squid swim right by him. It was a little kind of a
spooky. Kind of spooky, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. They could eat you.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, like attack in mass.
Yeah, they're
right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, so Steve in Escondido has an interest, Chris, and I talk about it because it's about one of Rick's favorite fish, the ratfish. he says, in the 80s, 90s and 2000, catching sand bass off of IB, I remember finding stacks of fish and catching them all day long and with a few ratfish. I know ratfish are mostly deep water fish, and their correlation between sand bass and ratfish. Is there a correlation between ratfish and sand bass on the coast?
Not that I know of. I think it was probably just a random chance.
Just a random deal.
That happened. Yeah, he's right. Ratfish tend to be in deeper waters on the bottom.
And what is a ratfish?
It's a really unique species. Like I said, they're found in deeper water, scaleless. They're benthic predators, usually where there's very little light, if any. But they're very common in offshore waters. They're just deeper than we typically fish, so you don't come across them very much.
But for some reason, they moved up with sand.
Every once in a while, they'll come up into the shallows, and you might see one caught. Yeah. And further north, they're more caught more commonly.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
They're appropriately named too.
Yeah. Ugly thing. Yeah.
They're not the cool ones.
Yeah, you don't want to handle them.
Yeah.
They're in the chimera family.
Chimera family. Yeah. Ratfish.
Yeah.
I love, Lyle, that you started us off with sand bass, and it just goes to show like how popular of a fish and what a bread and butter that thing is. We don't talk about sand bass often on the show. Like, they pale in comparison to these 200-pound bluefins and everything.
Of course.
I am shocked and so stoked to see. I mean, we have dozens and dozens and dozens of text messages for you, and they're all relating to sand bass and people's legit concerns about it. I think we're all fishermen. Nobody wants to see extra regulations, but like every text comes coming through with, it's like hard to wade through. Well, which one's better to read, this one or that one? Like, that's a fish that certainly has a soft spot in everybody's heart. You know, we all grew up fishing those things, and
that's
awesome. Everybody wants the best for it. There is a tremendous amount of sand bass questions that are continue to be lined up.
Yeah,
that's really cool. And it's what's really amazing is that when we have kelp bass to point to as a success story, we can do 100%. The same with sand bass if we use the best available science moving forward.
And you know, we were talking about all the different management plans. Like, we've seen success with a lot of different things, whether it be size limit or bag limit or look at white sea bass. You know, I mean, the limit changes throughout the year. When they're spawning, you get one. When they're not, you get three. Like, there's been a lot of successful tools used out, and you're not saying one or the other. It's just, let's get all the information about the fish, and then let's review what the options are, then let's pick the best,
exactly.
Then let's keep it rolling.
Yeah, and the SAC fishery sampling program is going to be a big part of that. So SAC started with tuna, as Elena mentioned, but they've expanded. They're now collecting data on rockfishes, and the idea now is to expand again and to include the basses, and that would just be huge because there are some data gaps that we need to address and inform management as best we can.
That's cool.
But generally speaking, sand bass isn't data limited.
Correct.
My understanding.
Correct. Yeah. Sand bass and calicos, I would not consider them a data limited species. We have a ton of fisheries independent information information, biology, life history information. It's all there. We just need to piece it together and work together collaboratively to figure out the best solution.
I have a Lyme disease question for you, Lena.
Oh, yeah.
My wife and I love to hike, and we love to spend time in the outdoors. How do you prevent getting bitten by a tick and potentially getting Lyme disease? What's the best prevention?
I mean, awareness. When I moved here, I had never seen a tick before in my life.
Yeah.
I know there are ticks up in British Columbia, and I grew up super outdoorsy, but it's just not in the same kind of numbers.
Yeah.
And so...
Too cold.
Too cold, I think. And just... like no awareness.
Yeah.
And so, and then when I started to spend time with Lyle, we were on like game trails.
Yeah.
And like you're brushing up against all the
right.
Artemisia and things like that. So, and I had zero awareness, and I kind right. of, I didn't appreciate the risk. And so I think that the biggest key is to be aware that there are ticks in San Diego, and there are ticks that, and in Southern California that do carry Lyme disease. And, you know, again, not dissuading people from getting out there and exploring wild
places. Hunting or,
absolutely.
Or hiking or anything.
Absolutely yeah. not.
Yes. But if you want a treatment, permethrin is
yes.
what people do use to spray
for
on their clothes.
Uh-huh.
And I've
that's
had,
a common, just
yeah, you
insect
can get it,
repellent.
Yeah, you can get it at Walmart. It's pretty nasty stuff. I usually, like, if I'm going hunting in deer season, I'll spray it on my clothes the night before and let it dry. And it's supposed to be good for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So, but I've walked through brush and had ticks attached to me and jump right off.
Wow. Oh.
I've
yeah.
literally watched them jump
so
off.
So do you, when you're walking through brush, of course you're wearing long pants covering
you
your body.
Tuck your socks into your,
yeah.
tuck your pants into your socks, like tuck your shirt yeah. Into your waist. Just,
yeah.
they love all,
wear long sleeves.
Yeah, they love all the nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
Like check yourself after shower. I never showered after horseback riding.
Yeah.
That sounds weird. Like I would, you know, like, I would like stay in my riding clothes for like 8 hours or something,
yeah.
right? Like that. And so it's like little simple lifestyle changes. Like
right.
we're not saying like any radical things.
Yeah.
The tick lives on the bush. The tick waits for an animal or you or whatever to
yeah.
walk by, jumps off the bush, jumps onto you. How long does it take for when that thing jumps on you before it bites you?
I mean, it can happen pretty quickly, and the Lyme disease bacteria can be transmitted relatively quickly from the host, or from the vector, mm-hmm. the tick, to you, the host. So, I mean, I had the tick on me for about 5 hours, maybe, and I did get a little bit of a rash, but you don't necessarily get a bullseye rash. A lot of these...
It can be a silent thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know dogs typically can go running through the bush, and I've picked ticks off
yeah.
my dogs before.
Yeah.
Can you... get the tick from the dog, like if you're rolling around hanging out with your
yeah.
dog, you know, some people have their dog sleeping in their bed
yeah,
with them
yeah.
and stuff. Can the tick jump off of them and get on you?
Yeah, for
possibly.
Sure. I mean,
possibly.
Maybe
yeah.
the tick that jumps off of my horse onto me.
Right.
Oh,
they don't jump.
Yeah.
Not to, people
no.
think they fall
they
from trees
crawl.
And
yeah.
stuff. They have like long, you know, legs, and they kind of just like
yeah.
grab you as you walk by the brush.
Yeah.
But, you know, they actually are the ones that are just passing the bacteria on. The birds and rodents are actually the ones that carry the Lyme disease.
Oh.
And the ticks are just transferring
just
it.
Transferring.
So,
so the ticks are biting the rodents, and then they're bringing it to
and then
the
they're feeding on us.
Transferred
yeah.
around.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
a trip.
But with the dogs, there's vaccine. There's a couple different vaccines
yeah.
for Lyme for dogs, but there's none for humans right now. Those are still
that's an interesting.
Yeah, they're still in trials. They're in development right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, do you think it'll happen?
It right. is. I mean, I think it's close.
Yeah.
Very close right now. For anyone who's super interested in that, there's this remarkable documentary called The Quiet Epidemic, and it's exhaustively researched on why I think there was a vaccine several decades ago that got
yeah.
Kind of squashed, and why Lyme disease being the number one infectious vector-borne infectious disease in the U.S. is not really known about very much.
Yeah.
Why politically, like economically, environmentally,
yeah.
socially, it's a really amazing documentary.
The Quiet Epidemic.
Yeah.
Quiet Academic.
Yeah. Epidemic.
Yeah. Quiet Epidemic.
Yeah, so if you are curious,
so
like why
Google
you can't get protected against Lyme through a vaccine,
that's good.
It'll explain
okay.
it.
I think
good
once
stuff.
This hugely successful book gets published,
and
you know, the world's awareness is on it, then I think that
oh, yeah.
you know, vaccine's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more of your great ticks. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hey, this is Captain Benny Florentino, owner-operator of Coastal Charters. Just want to announce that I'll be running the Camus 26 Hybrid Boat.
from West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. Hybrid being a center console with bay boat features. The boat features a Michael Peters stepped hull that'll give both myself and my guests a comfortable dry ride. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa will be carrying the 26 hybrid, 28 hybrid, and also a 34 cat. Heck, they even have some great looking bass boats. But if you have any other questions, feel free to call Nick Kelly or Kyle Mesa at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa, and we'll see you on the water.
Take it from Captain Benny Florentino. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa is your source for Camus boats as well as Parker boats, Yamaha outboards, and now Mercury outboards. Sales and service, the finest you can find. Go see Nick and the guys at West Coast Marine on Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check westcoastmarine.com.
Don't be the last one to get one, especially now. The new Brutus Pacific Pro from Ace Line Hauler. You can catch more lobster and pull deeper with the Ace Line Hauler, so you can get those bugs in the boat. Easy to store and low power draw. The Ace Line Hauler is the highest quality and certainly the best on the market. Just ask a friend that has one. Get it a new Brutus Pacific Pro by Ace Line Hauler today. Buy now at better fishing stores near you.
Saturday, November 2nd is Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Seminars by saltwater expert, great deals on tackle, top tackle reps like AFTCO, Psycho Pro Fluorocarbon, and incredible deals on AFTCO clothing. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 2nd.
Sport fishing, not just for dad anymore, thanks to the Dana Wharf's Kids Club. Dana Wharf Sport Fishing invites all anglers 12 and under to join the Kids Club today. Membership includes over $100 of really cool stuff, like two free fishing trips, whale watch trip, as well as a free Dana Wharf Kids Club hat or t-shirt. Log on to the website, danawharf.com, or visit them in Dana Point Harbor, the Bass Capital of the West, and only minutes from the 5 Freeway in Orange County.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
24 years ago, I visited this amazing place called Haida-Gwaii Archipelago. I just could not get enough of these amazing islands, natural beauty, friendly people, and phenomenal fishing. I knew I had to spend more time there. Moving forward to today, here I am, a fishing lodge owner. Hi, this is Valerie Hilbridge from Queen Charlotte Safaris in beautiful Haida-Gwaii Islands, British Columbia, Canada. We are a boutique lodge just steps from the Sand Strait Harbor, offering a truly unique fishing adventure. Our fishing is world-class. You will fish for king salmon, halibut, lingcod, and much more. Our fishing grounds are untouched, unspoiled, and surrounded by stunning scenery. We are dedicated to making your adventure an experience that will be a lifetime of memories. We will welcome you as friends, and you will leave as part of the Queen Charlotte Safaris family. You will come for the fishing, and you'll come back for the memories. We are booking now. Please give me a call at 1-877-815-2892, or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or website qcsafaris.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. What a fun show this has been.
Yeah,
so
really
much great
information. Looking at the outdoor cam, I see the Shogun getting ready to go on another great trip. And speaking of the Shogun, we have our Let's Talk Hookup Shogun trip coming up in this month, the 21st.
Yeah.
Coming up very soon. A 7-day now. It was a 6-day. They changed it to 7-day. Go down and take advantage of that phenomenal fishing down south. A couple spots still open. Hard to believe. But if you want to go on the Shogun, like you see here in the picture in the background here, we'll jump back in the studio now, and check out ShogunSportFishing.com and book that trip. You're going with Ron Lane. He'll be hosting the Let's Talk Hookup group, and it's going to be a fun time.
It's been really fun to see that, you know, that ridge fishing started early with the tremendous yellowfin fishing we talked about earlier in the show. That has carried on, but boy, there has been some really good wahoo scores over the last few days here. I know the Independence is on them, and
yeah.
And that trip
really
again.
Good scores.
That trip so perfectly.
Yeah, you
set
can
up.
Make the rocks with it. Yeah,
especially with the addition of that seventh
yeah,
day. Like that was
absolutely.
The difference maker of having time to have time in Wahoo Country instead of just touching it there. It's going to be a really good
yeah,
trip.
Yeah. So if you want to go on the 21st, Mr. Ron Lane will be hosting along with all the great guys on the Shogun. Check ShogunSportFishing.com and book that trip. That 7-day Let's Talk Hookup trip. Right now, let's talk to Ken from the San Diego Anglers. Good morning, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
Good.
Great show today. Morning. Just wanted to announce that we are having the San Diego Anglers Fall Open Bay Bass Tournament. It's October 19th at the Shelter Island Boat Ramp. We have two a year now, one in April and one in October. We have first place paying out at $1,500 for boat division and kayak division at $750 for turning in some big bass out of San Diego Bay. So we thank San Diego, we thank Fisherman's Landing for their sponsorship for that. You guys have helped us out a lot, and we really appreciate that. So, again, that's October 19th. Shelter Island Boat Ramp. You can sign up at sandiegoanglers.com or you can go to ianglertournament.com and sign up there or give me a call. My number's on our website at San Diego Anglers and we'll be happy to get you set up for this fun tournament.
2 weeks from today.
That's awesome.
The 19th
Ken.
Of October. So, and the website is sdanglers.org.
No, it's San Diego at sandiegoanglers.com.
Sandiegoanglers.com.
Yes.
And you can sign up right there.
You can sign up right there, or you can do SDA tournaments at Gmail, and that will come to me, and I will send you all the information you need for getting signed up.
Great.
That's awesome.
Thanks,
man.
Ken. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, guys.
All San Diego Open Bay Bass Tournament.
Yet again, what a fun thing to do this time of year.
Sand bass.
Good bay bass fishing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we've been talking about it all morning, man.
Yeah.
What a great fishery for sand bass San Diego Bay is. I mean, again, Lyle, no stranger to the fishing side of things. I mean, what a cool fishery that is is a year-round, very good sand bass population and great fishing.
Why is that, Lyle?
Well, sand bass and spotties, they recruit to shallow bay and estuary habitats. So they start small in here, and they grow up, and they migrate offshore, and they move up and down the coast. So the bays and estuaries here are kind of the starting point for them, and that's kind of where the population begins, and that's where the health of the fishery comes from. So,
but you also find some pretty good size ones too in the bay.
You do. So the big ones love coming in the channels, and in some.
What are they doing here? Feeding?
Oh, they're feeding.
Yeah.
They're full of a lot of the benthic invertebrates that you get here in the bays, the clams, the shrimp, all of those species. But they'll eat small flatfish. They'll eat anything they can come across, and there's a lot of species that use bays and estuaries as nursery habitat, so the bigger sand bass come in, and they're eating all those juveniles across lots of different species.
Is it known what size that fish tends to be before it migrates out of the bay? I mean, you said they go in there for spawning, or well, I guess they don't go in there for spawning reasons.
No.
They go in there to, like, rear up? Like,
no, so they spawn they spawn at these offshore aggregations, and then the eggs and larvae drift around in the water column, and the larvae that survive in the water drift in shore, and some of them land in the open habitat, and some of them land in the inshore bays and estuaries. But those ones really take off in the bays and estuaries, so you'll see the little 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-inch fish. And that's one of the big questions that we have about barred sand bass populations. What's going on with recruitment in these bays and estuaries where they're not being monitored the way they are in the fish or the way they are on dive surveys on the open coast? So that's an open gap in the information that we'd like to fill, and that's an option on the table.
That's cool. All right, let's jump into those jam-packed phones, Rick.
Jeff in Mission Viejo is up next here on Let's Talk Hookup. Hey, Jeff, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Great show. I've got a question I think everybody wants to know about sand bass. You say they migrate where in the heck do they go? I'm just curious if you guys know the answer.
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. No. They migrate to and from their spawning aggregations seasonally. So during those summer months, June, July, August, they bunch up in the spots that we're all familiar with to go fishing. But then during the rest of the year, they expand up and down the coast to deeper rocky reef habitat and ecotone habitat, which is sort of the boundary between soft bottom and hard bottom habitat. So in those winter months, you'll find them largely in deeper waters on some of the deeper reefs. Some of them, you know, we know about up and down the coast in Southern California, and that's where they tend to hang out in the kind of the off season.
Okay.
How much of that fish is in, like, how far down into Baja does that fish tend to go?
Oh, they go all the way down to as far as Abre Ojos. There's a viable artisanal fishery in Baja off Abre Ojos. So they catch them with traps down there, small-scale traps. And I believe they have a seasonal closure in Mexico to protect the spawning season. But, yeah, they're almost coast-wide in Baja, and they migrate up and down. I mean, in the tagging work that we did, we found sand bass traveling up to about 70, 80 miles.
Wow.
We had some fish that we tagged here locally in Point Loma and La Jolla that ended up off of Dana Point area.
Wow.
That was about the farthest migration that we saw. Generally speaking, they stay in more localized areas within, you know, a kilometer or two from where you catch them. But during those seasonal migrations to and from their spawning habitats, it could be, you know, tens of miles.
Do you happen to know if the population of the fish that are in Baja are any better or worse than the fish that have not been, you know, I mean, like you said, they commercially fish down there, so it's not like they're not getting harvested, but you were talking about those insane numbers that we recreationally caught them. Are the Mexico fish in a little better off because they weren't pounded quite as hard as our fish are? Or?
Huge question. Really glad you asked it. That's a big gap in our knowledge base.
Mexico.
We don't have as much information on the Mexican fishery. However, universities like CISESE and UABESE, they have researchers that are monitoring catch, so there are some data available. We just need to work together to sort of piece the entire coastwide story together to understand what's going on, and that'll help us learn how to manage our fishery better. But one thing that seems to be true is that during the period when our sand bass population was down, most of our recruitment has been coming from Baja. So the healthy population that's down there right now has largely been seeding Southern California.
Yeah.
And so the question is, once we build up our stock here locally, can we seed ourselves again? You know what I mean?
Sure. Super interesting.
Now, Lelena, when you were with SAC, you did a lot of interaction with Mexico. And did you work with some of the biologists in Mexico and such on some of your projects?
Not me very specifically. Most of my work was with CDFW and NOAA. Kenya was, you know, I tag along on those trips, but I wasn't really involved. I
gotcha.
Don't speak Spanish.
That's part of the deal there.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a great text here. It's from Shane in San Luis Obispo. It's an interesting question. He says, good morning, great show. Last night I ate a barrel fish at my local sushi spot. We ate the collar and sushi. It was absolutely delicious. Looked it up online and not too helpful. Any idea what a barrel fish is?
Restaurants have so many different names
for
species. I remember I ate cobia one time and they called it lemon fish, I think, which I had never heard at the time. Yeah, restaurants come up with interesting names.
So there is no fish, to your knowledge, that's called a barrel fish.
There may be somewhere around the world, but I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah. Well, we have to ask sushi guy.
Hey, I had another great text come through from Jeff in Torrance and says, Lyle, are there any studies with what I can only assume as a fisherman are an overpopulation of sea lions? Is there any correlation or impact to our sand bass, halibut, sea bass? I always hear about the salmon stocks, et cetera, et cetera. Love to hear your take from Jeff in Torrance.
There, another phenomenal question. There are tons of studies. There's a whole division at NOAA Southwest Fisheries Science that are focusing on protected species and marine mammals, seals and sea lions being two of those. There have been population monitoring studies periodically. We have a pretty good idea of what those population abundance estimates are. There's a long time series that researchers have generated that they're still generating. So there's a ton of information on how many sea lions are out there, and we know a lot about sea lion physiology and biology and ecology and energetics to know, you know, approximately how much an individual sea lion needs per day or per week or per month for intake. So we have a pretty good idea of what the overall impact is on fish intake, but they eat a whole number of species, so it's sort of hard to pin it down. They really like sardines, anchovies, mackerel, the oily, calorie-rich species, but as we all know, they eat lots of different species that we like to catch.
Especially ones on our hook.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there is an impact overall. Have they impacted sand bass specifically? Probably to an extent, but to what extent, we don't really know.
Right. Yeah. Hey, let's jump back on the phones, Rick.
You got it. How about this time we talk to John calling from Huntington Beach? Good morning, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Awesome show as always. Just love to hear the science behind what we love to do. So our question is, what about albacore? It seems like they're catching them this year from Northern California all the way up to the end of or top of British Columbia up there at Paraguay. Any population studies that we on albacore? How are they doing?
Yeah,
and we see them here sometimes.
Yeah, great question. The albacore population is very healthy, to my knowledge, up and down the entire West Coast. My wife and I actually just came back from Vancouver Island a few days ago, and the offshore albacore fishery up there is great. It's not something you really think about when you go fishing up there. Everyone thinks about halibut and lingcod and salmon, but if you just go a little bit farther offshore, there's some big albacore you can get into, and coast-wide, the population is very healthy. It's largely influenced by oceanographic dynamics and water temperature. That's the biggest factor to think about. So when you're fishing albacore, you want to look at your water temperature maps. That's the biggest thing.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on Let's Talk Hookup, we have Valley Hope Bridge from Queen Charlotte Safaris, and she's talking about adding albacore / salmon trips to her BC trips.
Nice.
Because they caught a lot of albacore up there this year.
Yep.
Yeah. Not far off the coast. From where they're at.
15 miles.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. It was right there, yeah, for sure. So be sure to tune in tomorrow and see what she says about albacore.
Totally.
We're going to have one of the captains calling in talking about it.
That's going to be exciting.
That's going to be fun. Bill in Orange County has a good question for our future marine biologists or fisheries biologist people. If you had to do your education over again to be successful, what university would you attend and what would be in your studies?
Well, that's a cool question.
Wow, interesting question. Do you want to start?
Go ahead.
Well, let's see. I did my undergrad at Santa Barbara. I did a master's at Long Beach and a PhD at Scripps Institution of Oceanography. I wouldn't change that for the world.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It was
a pretty awesome place.
Wonderful experience. Just amazing people to work with. The fishery that's right in your backyard, whether in a recreational or commercial context. The species diversity and the ecosystem. I just love cold, murky kelp water, getting out of the islands where it's, you know, can be crystal clear, or diving here inshore and, you know, doing your field work in the cold kelp forest. I love that too. It just feels wild. So the university experience, the field experience combined, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah. And Helena?
I did my undergrad at the University of Victoria, and then I moved to California to go to Scripps. So I did my master's at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography, and that's where I met Lyle. I love that I went to school in two different countries, so I got to see what university was like in Canada versus the States. And I feel like I have a coast-wide understanding because obviously up in Canada we focused more up northern issues. So
what are the issues up there?
I mean, I came from the commercial fishing world, and so it was really ground fish.
Yeah.
A lot of rat fish. A lot of ground fish. The scale is just different, you know, when you're talking about draggers and trawlers like that. And what I have hands down noticed is that down here, especially working with SAC and the fleet, the way that this fleet, this part of the country is looked at from the rest of the country and in many places across North America as a leader of how to work together and move really difficult mountains. And so I was contacted countless times in my years at SAC by people on the East Coast. How are you doing what you're doing? How are you all working together? How are you guys like showing up at the table together, industry science managers? And so that would be the biggest difference that I've seen is the collaborative nature of the work here. And I really credit SAC to that in a major, major way.
That's cool.
That's great. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky caller or texter is going fishing on board the San Diego. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hi, this is Tommy the Fishmonger from Tunaville Market and Grocery and the TV show Fishmonger. I've known Yosef Husseini for over 20 years, and he's the expert when it comes to real estate. He's helped me with estate planning and multiple estate questions that the average guy like myself just doesn't understand. Yosef's not only a fellow angler, but he's an amazing realtor that specializes in helping us in the angling community find their ultimate home. If you own a home, get a free, no-obligation home evaluation now online from Yosef by typing in SoCalHomeEval.com. All you do is put in your address and you'll get that report fast. Yosef is a SoCal real estate guy to go to. He's helped me and many of my customers and family members to find what they are looking for in a home. He understands the real estate market like no other, so take it from Tommy the Fishmonger. Yosef's the real deal when it comes to your real estate needs. Go to SoCalHomeEval.com and I'll see you at Tunaville Market and Grocery.
Saturday, November 2nd is Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Come see seminars by saltwater experts, great deals on tackle from Shimano, like Terramar rods with TC4 blank construction. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 2nd.
Gamakatsu is not just all about hooks. There's so much more, including the new Gamakatsu fillet knives. Once you try one, you'll always want more. The new tools are also very special, including the Gamakatsu braid scissors made with ceramic blades so they'll never rust. Check out the new lineup of shirts and hats, and of course, Gamakatsu fishing pliers and boxes are amazing. Gamakatsu, much more than just the best hooks. Get them at your local tackle shop or at gamakatsu.com.
This is Bob Hoos at Costa Sunglasses. Visual signs are a critical part of my fishing program, from bay bass to bluefin. I wear Costas to see what's out there. Costas are built with advanced polarization technology with our 580 lens, designed to cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color to see more fish. Costa was founded by a group of anglers wanting a high-performance lens for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your adventures. CostaSunglasses.com.
If there's one thing we like, it's choices. And your San Diego County Ford dealers is the place to start, with a full lineup of vehicles and available powertrains. Get your ideal combination of power and capability with gas, hybrid, or all electric. But more important than the power you choose is what you choose to do with it. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. It's time to find out who's going fishing on board the San Diego on a full-day trip. Elena's going to do us the honors, flipping the prize.
Go for it, Elena.
Today we have a texter winning. Congratulations, Jeff in Torrance. You are going fishing on board the San Diego with Ryan and Matt. You are so stoked.
All right, and thank you to all the callers, all the texters. We can't get to everybody, but we tried to get to as many as possible. And you guys, my gosh, Lyle and Elena, you guys are so knowledgeable. And thank you for your years. Here's a dedication to your passions.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. And again, if somebody wants more information from you, Lyle, about those trips.
Yeah, you can reach out to Bryce Stemmons' lab at Scripps Institution of Oceanography, or just reach out to me directly on my website, LyleBelquist.com.
Yeah, okay. And then, Elena, when can we see the book on Lyme disease?
Hopefully this year. I'm really active on social media doing the promo for the book. So on Instagram, I'm Elena Belquist. And then I have a website as well, elainabelquist.com. So
okay,
there's all the updates
it.
There. Alaynabelquist.
All right. Very good. Yeah, you guys are super knowledgeable, and I really look forward to your work with Sam Bass. That is fantastic that you're doing that and then going to help preserve that fishery for the future, because that total collapse that we had, that was just no fun.
Yeah.
And
it's,
we don't want to do that again.
It's coming back right now, and SAC and the department and academics are working together to see what we can do.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thanks to Chris for manning the phones, and thanks to all of you again for being out there. Thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. We will be back tomorrow morning, 7 and 9 a.m. We have Valerie Hoprich. Going to be a great show. Super fun to have Valerie in the studio talking about Queen Charlotte Safaris, which soon to be Haida Gwaii Safaris, and we'll explain that tomorrow, and we'll also explain albacore fishing up there, as well as the phenomenal salmon fishing and more. Talking your Canada language there, Elaina.
I love all these Canadians.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow morning right back here on 1090 AM, the Let's Talk Hookup app, Sports Grid Radio Network, and of course YouTube and Facebook Live. See you later. Bye.